Murder, mystery, and books. Are you intrigued? It's what we're reading. Midnight at the Bright Ideas Bookstore is author Matthew J. Sullivan's debut novel. When a bookshop patron commits suicide, his favorite store clerk Lydia must unravel the puzzle he left behind. And strangely, the tragedy forces Lydia to relive a murder mystery from her childhood. Could the incident somehow be related? Interesting characters, a compelling and intricate story, and of course, books are a big part of the plot. I particularly enjoyed how Sullivan created a bookstore that is so obviously a part of the community, and how everyone from its employees to its patrons are unique and interesting. This aspect reminded me of the storied life of A.J. Fickrey, something you'll enjoy if you like bookish stories. However, this is not a cozy, wrap yourself up in a blanket on the couch mystery. There's a bit of gore, there's heavily flawed and evil people, parts are downright scary. But strong characters and the way all the loose ends are tied up gives this novel a satisfying conclusion. It's a very good read. And from our KAXE KBXE What We're Reading page, readers have been talking about Helene Wecker's book, The Golem and the Genie. In this story, a chance meeting between mythical beings takes readers on a dazzling journey through cultures in turn-of-the-century New York. Johnny describes it as folk mythology, human emotions, historical fiction, and the tension of a thriller all mixed into one great book. First time in the last few months I've read a book I could not put down. Next up, we visit another book collection and talk books on our What We're Reading feature, Show Me Your Shelf. What better than to visit the book collection of a retired English professor and a prolific writer? I visit Rose and Will Weaver from Bemidji, and their book collection did not disappoint.
I just purchased one by Patricia Hample, who is a Minnesota writer and a favorite of mine. She's written several memoirs, and this is called The Art of the Wasted Day.
What compels you these days to actually purchase a book versus checking out from the library, getting it online?
She deserves to have her book bought, I guess, is what I feel. And I really do enjoy her writing, so I thought, yes, I'm going to buy this book instead of getting it from the library.
You know, I think most of our bookshelves here, and as we look at them, it's about 12 feet long and about 6 feet high, and it's full of mostly hardcover books. A lot of these are literature from college days where Rose and I met. We were both English majors, and so we're carrying forward a lot of those classic works of literature. We buy new books regularly, and we try to support our local independent bookstores as much as possible.
There will be a time when you run out of space. How do you make that decision, what to weed out of your very own personal collection?
Well, that's a tough one. The last time I weeded out my book collection was when I retired from teaching. I gave a lot of my books to my students, to my grad students, especially ones that I used in my teaching that they would find really useful in doing their own research. But I save some of my favorite authors who I read a lot and wrote a lot about. And so that's mostly who I have now. I have all of Alice Munro's books and Margaret Atwood's. Another favorite writer from Canada of mine is Carol Shields. And so those are some of my very favorite books. I also have a few books that I go back to all the time. When Memorial Day came around, this is published by Jim Perlman, who has a press in Duluth, called Beloved on the Earth. And it's poems by all sorts of wonderful poets about grief and gratitude. So I pulled this off the shelf on Memorial Day and sat and read some of these poems. Another favorite author and good friend of mine was Susan Hauser, so I have all of her books, and she also has a couple of poems in here.
Do you have any sort of organizational scheme to your collection?
Yes, there is a general scheme at work here. We have, it seems to me, 4 categories. We have his, hers, ours, and a special category, mine. That is to say, ones I've written. You can see a bunch on the bottom here. Red Earth, White Earth, Gravestone Made of Wheat, Full Service, and so on. But in the middle, we have the hours. And on the left, as we're facing the shelves here, are Rose's Connection, as she mentioned, of largely Canadian literature. It's what she did her graduate work in. And so she's well-stocked with Canadians.
I'm thinking about when I'm at home with my book collection, I'll maybe be looking for a certain book, but I will become utterly sidetracked because of all the other books.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you found yourself lost in your own collection?
Oh, yes, all the time. I do. I find myself lost in my own collection. I'll be looking for something, and you're right, I'll see something that I forgot I had and pull it out and get involved with that.
And that happens especially when we weed out books. And going back to that question, how do we do that? Maybe there's a parallel with weeding out in our closet and our clothes. If we don't wear something for a certain period of time, mm-hmm. we should maybe pass it on to someone else. Same perhaps with books. If we haven't read it or don't have an inclination to come back to it for many, many years, maybe that's a sign that it should be passed on to another reader.
I can't leave without asking you both about your favorite books here in your collection.
Here I'm just looking at a rather obscure book. It's a novel by Russell Hoban, and it's called Ridley Walker. It's one of the early post-apocalyptic books. I have it here in hardcover, and it's very stylized writing, suggesting that after this post-apocalyptic event, that even language was in decline. And so the actual writing of it really, really caught my attention. I've always liked this book, Ridley Walker, again by Russell Hoban.
One of my favorite books is The Handmaid's Tale. I read that when it first came out in 1985. It was amazing to me. And I have to confess that I can't watch the series because I don't want it ruined.
I hope you were able to check out the recent PBS feature, The Great American Read. PBS conducted a national survey, and the results are 100 of America's best-loved novels. It's full of many classics, some contemporary novels, it includes children's and young adult books, and some surprises. Whatever you think of the books on this list, there's sure to be something for everyone. And you get to vote for your favorites. The results will be compiled later in the year, giving everyone time to read some of the books, and we'll be keeping an eye on this throughout the summer and fall. You can find a link to the show and the list at pbs.org. Thanks to Rose and Will Weaver for letting me invite myself into their home and for the wonderful conversation about books. You can talk books anytime on our KAXE KBXE What We're Reading group on Facebook or email us at comments@kaxe.org. I'm Tammy Bobrowski, and this has been What We're Reading on KAXE KBXE. We are hanging in between an exhale.